Mom, where's Timmy?
He's gone to be with the Lord.
He's dead?
No, silly. He and his family have moved to Bubble Creek Canyon.
Do you dream of a day when you can drive to work without being forced to look at unchristian billboards and bumper stickers? When you can turn on the radio without hearing the electric guitar or some other horrible instrument of the devil? When you don't have to interact with bozos who have the audacity to disagree with you? Well, at Bubble Creek Canyon, your dreams can come true. Hello. Or as we like to say at Bubble Creek Canyon, heaven out. Bubble Creek Canyon is an isolated community nestled in 3,500 acres of magnificent and desirable real estate. Best of all, it's 100% heathen free. That's right, and you'll think it's the next best thing to heaven. At Bubble Creek Canyon, we use an elaborate screening process to ensure that our residents completely agree with our doctrine. No ifs, ands, or Buddhists. We're a heavily gated community with fantastic facilities, breathtaking sight lines, and Christianized amenities. We have a Christian shoe store, a Christian t-shirt store, a Christian underwear store, a Christian bank, Christian grocery, Christian car dealership, Christian pet store, Christian liquor store, and a Christian tattoo parlor. Temporary, of course. We have a nationally recognized school district and only one textbook. We also think you're going to like our library. Let this filth get in here. At the BCC Cinema, you can watch all the latest movies without worrying about the questionable content, because we removed it all. Every home comes with a spacious backyard with plenty of room for an optional baptism pool. Hey, pin the ear on the High Priest Soldier, one of my personal favorites. And each home comes equipped with built-in Christian signage. Just try to pull this off the wall. With our combination cable and internet package, you'll have access to ES Pray In, My Heavenly Space, God Tunes, Godopedia, God Gold, God Bay, God Cast, and The Sopranos. Every morning, a copy of our community paper will be delivered to your doorstep. And our publication is committed to protecting you from all that unpalatable bad news that's always happening around the world. Our landscaping company, Holy Ground, will make sure that your front yard is always impeccably manicured. We've added a new feature this year. Around the holidays, special sensors in the streetlights detect non-nativity ornamentation and act quickly to eliminate these unsightly eyesores. Bubble Creek Canyon, if God wasn't omnipresent, he'd probably live here.
Well, well, wouldn't we all love to live in Bubble Creek Canyon? You know, I thought you would enjoy that. You know, really, some of us would love to live in that little world, and I would tell you it doesn't exist. Bubble Creek doesn't exist. And if it did, I want to tell you, I wouldn't want to live there. I would not want to live in a place where people always agreed with me. I think disagreements are good. It challenges your mind. It encourages you to look further into the Scripture. And as you guys graduate, but this is not just a message for the seniors that are graduating. It's really for all of us. And I really wouldn't want to live in a place like that. In fact, the minute I did, I would mess it up. You know, has anybody ever said to you, man, I tell you what, how did this world get so bad? Well, you know what you need to say next time they say something to you and just say, well, it got bad. It's bad because of you, your mama, your daddy, your meemaw, your peepaw, your brother, your sister, your uncles, because we're all bad. We have this nature in us, this natural sin nature that seems to creep out. And as you guys are graduating, getting to a new world, that's what's going to kind of creep out of you. There's a lot of things in the world that are going to come to you. There's a lot of new teachings that are going to come your way and destroy the faith that you have. And a lot of times we get upset and we want to argue with people. Instead, we just need to be firm in our faith. But if I were going to tell you anything, and that's what I thought. I thought, what do you tell a bunch of seniors that are graduating? How can I mix some seniors who are graduating, going off to college or going to the workforce, into a group of people? Some of you have been here for years and years. You've learned great lessons. How do you mix those two? And then I just said, Lord, you know, I really don't know what to tell these people. And then he led me to what you and I are supposed to do. And it's a supernatural mandate that we are to love one another. Now, most of you are shut down. You go, oh, this is a message about love. Yes, it is. If there is anything that Christ wants us to do, that the Word of God wants us to do, that God wants us to do, is that is love. Listen, it is a mandate of God that we constantly love. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes I don't love people. You know that? Come on, turn down your halo. There are people that I like, and there are people that I can love from a distance. You ever know those people? You go, I'll love you, but I'll love you sit over there in that corner. I don't want to love you, you know, real close. Well, it's a mandate that we have to love. And the sad thing is, a lot of us think that that love is in that little bubble, that we can only love those people around us. And so, as we jump into this, that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, the Bible is very clear, and it tells us that we are to be in the world, but not of it. How do we do that? How are we supposed to be in the world? Sometimes that's a hard thing to swallow in Scripture. How am I supposed to be in the world, but not of it? How am I supposed to live in this place where all these things come to me and tell me, and they will, students, they tell you things that you've grown up believing that all of a sudden your thinking's been challenged, and they say, don't believe this anymore. Oh, that was a lie. Oh, that wasn't all the truth. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with all those things that are going to come your way? But we are supposed to love. It's very clear in Scripture. It says that, but now faith, hope, and love, these three abide in these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, all of you have heard that Scripture. That's what I'm saying. When I started looking at this, I'm going, they're all going to shut down, because the minute you start talking about love, you're going, oh, that's the church. We're supposed to talk about love. Oh, I know how to love. Well, many of us don't know how to love. So how do we live in this world, love the people that think differently than us, love the people that act differently than us? I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. I'll tell the story on our staff. We went out together as a staff. It won't bother me, because that just made me laugh. And we were in this place, and it was a place where you sit around and they cook all the food in front of you. And our little waiter, it was from the world. He's of the world. And he started cleaning. You know, it's one of those sushi places or whatever where they clean, 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 you know, big hat. They do the egg, you know, and they cut everything up. They fry it in front of you. But the guy was making lewd remarks toward us. And we were sitting there feeling a little uncomfortable. And I was sitting there watching the staff. And all of a sudden, I found myself not feeling uncomfortable anymore. I found myself kind of laughing, going, okay, we're all uncomfortable, but why are we uncomfortable with people that are supposed to act that way? And then we all understood, yeah, we do. And I was proud of our pastor. We went up afterward and talked to him. I said, well, next time, we probably ought to tell him we're a church group, okay? Because he was moving the hips and everything, folks. Poor Kathy Hendon, she got the whole brunt of it. And I don't know if Kathy's here. She turned so red. But what do we do with like that? Do we never go back into that restaurant? How do I live in the world but not of it? And this scripture in Romans chapter 12 that the pastor read, we're going to quickly run through there and take a look at what you're supposed to do and what love looks like. But remember, love is that greatest commandment. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? We all know about the fruits of the Spirit. We also know, or you should know, that, or if you don't know, that the very first fruit that's listed in the Spirit is what? Love. How do we love? How do we love people that are different than us? Faith, hope, and love. Listen, you need to understand, this is one of those statements that you need to listen to. Love is more important than any spiritual gift, ability, or talent that you or I will ever have. It is vitally important that you understand that. Out of any gift that you have, that I have, that any talent that you have, any ability, the thing that overrides anything that you do is love. Because it's always mentioned first. Listen, Jesus left to all the believers, a new commandment I leave to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. What? If you have love for one another. Genuine love is a very integral part of the supernatural living that Jesus has called us to be a part of. We have to love. But again, I go back to this. I'm making sense here. I go back to this thing. How do I love the world, live in the world, but not be a part of it? Now, many of us will say, well, you don't need to do this and this and that. And I'm so glad that the church is slowly getting away from saying, that's evil, that's evil, that's evil, that's evil. And they're trying to help believers understand that as you mature, you're going to know what's evil. And if you don't, then you're not maturing in Christ. You're not maturing in love. Remember, it says this. First of all, it says love must be sincere without hypocrisy. So I would tell you, seniors, and I would tell you folks, listen, your love needs to be sincere. You need to sincerely love people. I'm going to tell you something. There are people, really, that I have a hard time loving, but I sincerely love them. You know why I know that I love them? Because I get upset with them and I get angry with them, but also I see the goodness in them. I'm always the person that, even if somebody goes bad, my wife has this discerning spirit within her, and she can discern when somebody's just kind of, you know, faking you out or they're wrong or something's not right. I don't have that ability, but inside of me, I always see the goodness in people. I always think, well, maybe they did this because of this. Maybe they made this decision. Well, this is why the way they are. And I hope that I always keep that. And sometimes the older you get, you lose that. And over the years, I've kind of lost that. I'm trying to gain that back because I begin to look at the world as sometimes, and more, I'm just saying, most police officers I talk to, after a while, you begin to go, everybody's a crook. That's a crook. I know that. You know, police officers that I've known, it's just because that's all they see, are all these bad people. And it's easy to become to say, well, everybody's bad. Well, you know what? Everybody is bad. But inside of everybody, I believe there's an opportunity for that goodness to rise up only if they know Christ and they turn that goodness toward Him, and then He can turn goodness out. Does that make sense to everybody? So how do you love? Well, you just got to be sincere. That's what He said. Love must be sincere without hypocrisy. The very fact that He put love must be sincere without hypocrisy is pretty amazing, because those words are really diametrically opposed to one another, that we have to be sincere. How do you be sincere in love? Well, you ask God to give you. You ask God to give you the ability to love. Now, listen. Okay, for me, if I may be honest with you, there are times that, for me, if I loved people the way that I wanted to love them, I would love only certain people. Because all of us like to gravitate to the people that are like us. You ever notice that? You gravitate toward people that are like you. You gravitate people, like for me, I'm an emotional person. I'm a person that likes to talk and likes to be nice to people. So I gravitate toward that. You ever notice you gravitate toward that? There's very few friends that I have. I have one friend that is totally opposite to me. And we sit in a car, and one day I said, how is it that we are best buddies? Because you are so different to me. Because I'm learning to love people and see Him through God's eyes, just like He loves me and sees me. Because there are people, if you're analytical, anybody, you know, if I love people through my eyes, here it is. If anybody's analytical in here, and you're a thinker, and you're very quick, and you know things, and you're black, and you're white, if I loved you the way I wanted to love you, I wouldn't love you at all. Because I see that. It's like a pastor, any preachers that get up, and they scream, and they holler, I'm immediately shut down, and I think, okay, I don't like you already. You're screaming, you're hollering, you got an attitude problem. There's probably sin in your life is why you're so mad up here. Goodness, take a happy pill, do something with it. Because if I loved people the way I wanted to love people, I would not like analytical people. I don't. And I look at them and I think, you're rude. You ever notice that? You're rude, you're mean, you're short. Okay, can I be real honest with you? Can we be real honest? I look at it and think, you have to be emotionally constipated because you don't cry. Now, that's what it is. Listen, you just think, goodness, you don't cry. You don't get upset about anything. You're just cold. Man, how in the world did that woman ever marry you? How in the world did that man ever marry you? Because, guys, if we love each other the way that we want to love each other, this world would be a terrible place. But I have to love. And the older I get, the more I see the strength of an analytical person. The older I get, the more I like that emotional person. The older I get, the more that I know that the greatest strength that we have in the body of Christ is the diversity of the emotions, the diversity of the body, the diversity of the way we think, the way we act. But sometimes we're so cold toward people. And so, seniors, I want to tell you something. When you go out into the work world, and when you're out there, folks, and you're working now, and you're going to school, there's going to be some people that are different to you, but it's our greatest strength. And we need to love them the way God would see, and God loves them through the way that God loves them, that our love would be sincere for them, and our love would be without hypocrisy. Secondly, look what he said. He said, you know what you need to do? You need to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, I like that little word cling, because in its original text, it really means glue. It means that you're supposed to glue yourself to what is good. You're supposed to glue yourself, attach yourself to what is evil, good, and hate what is evil, okay? You're supposed to cling to it. How do you cling to goodness but hate evil? And then we start telling people what evil is. And I love this in church. And you got to be careful of this. That's why there's so much diversity. That's why there's so many churches on every corner. Because people say, well, this is evil, this is evil, and this is evil. Okay. It says in Proverbs 9:10, it says, fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It says in Proverbs 8:13, the child of God abhors evil because God abhors evil. But then what we decide is we decide what's evil in our life to make ourselves feel good. All of us have some idea and thoughts of what evil is. Some of you in this room, and I'm not going to argue it with you, don't come talk to me about it later. I'm just listing things that over the last 24 years that people have come to me and said, that's evil, that's evil, that's evil, that's evil. You know, everybody. Some people think Harry Potter is evil. Some people think Lord of the Rings is evil, that we should not watch it. Some people think the internet is evil. Some people think, listen, some people think the TV, it's the one-eyed monster, it's evil. HBO, Hell's Box Office, man, that's evil. You shouldn't watch it. Some people think that every magazine that doesn't have to do with Christianity is evil. Some people think that the University of Texas is evil. I'm sorry, John. Some people think that Texas A&M is evil. Well, this is not what the Scripture is alluding to. The Scripture is alluding to sin. That what you would look at and that maybe it's evil, but then what you do with it, are you going to become evil because of that? Is it good for you to watch? No. And every generation wants to blame the last generation. Hey, folks, back in the 1950s, even before that, the Everly Brothers came up with a song, Wake Up Little Susie. Stations, yeah, that's some of your generation. Hey, listen, y'all think, well, that's not bad. Let me tell you something. Listen, that your generation, when that song came out, there were stations in major cities all over the country that would not play Wake Up Little Susie. And you know why? Because it was evil. You know why? Because it talked about a guy and a girl that went to a drive-in movie. They fell asleep together. Listen, and woke up the next morning. And they said, we can't show that. That's evil. Because, you know, you're not supposed to keep a girl out. This was their thinking. Past midnight. Because that's evil. Well, there are a lot of things. And I could blame you. I could say, listen, some people say, boy, they're really bad today. Yeah, they are. But you know, when it started in the 1950s. And you know what? In 1939, when Gone with the Wind, that everybody, every one of us saw came out, when Gone with the Wind came out, that one little word that we all know very well, because we've seen the movie. In 1939, churches came out and said, we don't want that word. We don't want anybody to do that word. And finally, the movies that produced it, all of a sudden they decided to say, hey, listen, we're just going to let this thing die down. And a year later, they just let that movie out. Thousands upon thousands of people went out and watched it. In 1979, a movie came out, and here's what the critics said about it. I'll read it to you. A movie came out, and it said this. Oh, I lost it. It said this. The same word was used in Gone with the Wind was used also in this movie that I'm fixed to tell you about. And it said this. The parents of all over all the land breathed a sigh of relief and said, in 1979, finally, a movie that we can let our children go see. You know what it was? Star Wars. And it had the same word that they had back in 1939. So what's evil, folks? Whose problem is it? Do I blame those of you in 39 and 40 that let that go? Do we not do anything? Hey, listen, because how do I live in the world but not of it? Listen, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to go do every bad thing I see. You know, Chris and I were in San Antonio doing some pre-camp stuff this week and going out to see the camp where we were staying. And so we had to stay overnight in San Antonio. We were walking down the Riverwalk. Chris, what, 20 years old, had never been on the Riverwalk. Okay? So I took him down there to a little Mexican food place. We ate. Well, no, what we did is we were walking around, and we saw this, we all of a sudden heard this commotion to the right. And these people had to-go bags, and they were running up the stairs. And what had happened is the waiter was hollering at him, hey! And Chris and I walked, and you heard him walk away going, they didn't pay for their ticket. We saw that happen. So you know what we did? I looked at Chris, and he looked at me, and we thought, man, let's go eat. And we did. I want to tell you something. We were good stewards of the church's money, and we ate at this little Mexican food restaurant, and we slowly got up, and we didn't even pay for it. Yeah, we did that. We walked out without paying for our meal, and you can thank us later for saving you the church money, okay? We were just trying to be good stewards of what you'd given us. Well, how ludicrous is that? Now listen, no, we did not. We paid for the meal. But just because I see something doesn't mean I'm evil. But when I see it, what's it going to cause my mind to do? Listen, I hate pornography, but I use the internet all the time to get information that I've even used to teach you about this morning. Listen, when it says we are to cling to what is good and abhor evil, how do you live in the world? But how do we do that? You know, guys, you ever go to a Mexican, and I know I make Mexican food restaurants, but you ever go to a Mexican food restaurant and you walk out and what do you smell like? You ever done that where you're going, man, I need to go to this place. They're going to smell me. And you're constantly going, dang, I need something. You roll down the window. Oh, come on. You've done that before. And you're going, I need to get this Mexican food smell off me. Well, just because I ate or walked into and ate at a Mexican food restaurant does not mean that I am a Mexican food restaurant. Now, I may look like a Mexican food restaurant, but I am not a Mexican food restaurant. And I think sometimes we need to understand what smells evil and what's whether or not you are evil. I can walk into a lot of evil places, see a lot of evil things, and I may walk out, but you will smell the aroma of God, and others will smell the aroma of God on you, even within an evil society. We need to be careful that we point fingers and say, well, this is evil, that is evil, that is evil. That is what's caused so many church splits. That's what's called divisions of people to go and do their own little group. And I love the way the pastor say, sometimes they're just little weird groups, aren't they? Yeah, you're going, okay, we know what group you're in. When you begin to get labeled as that way off group, hey, we live in the world, listen, but we're not supposed to be of it. And we'll always have that problem with sin. We'll always have that problem with all the things that come into our lives that we deal with. But we need to understand that you need to hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. And it's very difficult to do that. I'm going to look through my notes here. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I want to make sure I get certain points in here. Okay? To hate what's bad, but understand that God is good and He wants you to love people. And as we go through these scriptures, look what it says. It says, be devoted to one another in love and to brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal. Never lacking in zeal. Well, what does that mean, never lacking? It means really never lacking, and the better word is diligence. That we are constantly diligent. Listen, students, you need to be diligent in your work. You need to be diligent in your life. You need to be diligent and be diligent in what you do. It's the action of the supernatural life. That we are constantly diligent at doing good. That at all costs, we should always do good to others. That we should always keep peace with other people. That's what love is. And I'm telling you, that's what we're supposed to do. And that's how you love. You have this zeal. You have this diligence. And look what else it says. It says that you're not only not be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Well, what does that mean? Well, the spiritual fervor is really talking about our attitude. So it says that we are to be diligent in our action to do good. To be good to people, to do good things to people, to be nice to people, to love people, to be diligent in our search for God, to be diligent, listen, to accept our neighbors, to be diligent in understanding and being patient with a lost world. We are to be diligent about everything that we do. You are not to be slothful, students. You're not to be slothful and weak and timid. You're to have zeal. You're to be diligent, not only with your actions, but listen to this. It says with your attitude. Now it's our attitude. Our attitude has to be good. It's easy to get negative, isn't it? It's easy to get negative. Any church I've ever been into, I could have 500 people, and if 3 people didn't like me, those were the things I focused on. I try not to do that anymore. I just let them orbit around themselves, because usually that's what they do. If you will let negative people orbit, just say, okay, thank you, and let them orbit around themselves, they will find 2 or 3 people, and they'll get negative. We're going to go the different direction, and all of a sudden they're going to gravitate to us, and we're going to pull them in with love, or they're going to push away and be diligent to say, I don't want to be around you. I don't like what you're doing. Well, you know what I say? Listen, you go, listen, you know what I say to those of you who like to do that? I say, go. Go. Because we're going to move on, and we're going to love, we're going to be diligent, we're going to have better attitudes. Yeah, I get down at people. Let me tell you something, it's hard to be in ministry, but it's hard to be in any work that you do, that you have to work with all these people. People mess things up, don't they? Don't they? Yeah, well, I do. I mess things up. But, you know, I hope that you love me regardless. I hope that you'll love and accept me. You know, I love old Bradley Green. you know. He'll work hard for anybody. He whines all the time, complains. I tell you what, but no. I just love hanging out with him. But are you loving unconditionally? Students, you got to love unconditionally. And what you've got to do, you got to love it, and you got to be diligent about it. Not only that, you got to have a good attitude about it. There are going to be some people, just wait, seniors, guess what? Adults, am I right? There are going to be some mean people. Guess what? You're also going to meet some goobers. You're going to meet some. You're going to go, no, you can't be that dumb. You are. Get ready. You're going to go, no. You did not. You didn't say that. Did you? You know, what's better to say? Are you stupid? Is it better to say that? Or is it better to say, you're not very smart, are you? Well, which one's better? They're both wrong. That's not love. We have to be diligent and check our attitude, and that's what he was saying for. Listen to this right here. It says, you keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope. Students, if there's anything that you will always have as a believer in Christ, is I will always have hope. Every believer in this room, I want to tell you something. I don't care how bad it gets. You will always have hope. Hope that one day that when you take your last breath, you're going to be with Christ in a moment. If you have nothing else to hold on to, if you're in an accident and you know you're fixing to die, you have hope that it may hurt for a moment, but you will be in eternity. You will be with God in all eternity. That is the greatest hope that any believer ever has. That anything that you and I go through, but see, that's what teaches us to love. That Christ gave us this hope. Now watch this. It says, bless those. He said, be patient in affliction. How many of you have not been patient in affliction? Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. You are so good about that. By the way, I'm going to do an advertisement. The pastor said I could. Faithful and you get me are so good about taking care of these teenagers. If you'd like to scholarship some students for camp, I have about 7 that need it. So come see me. Be faithful with what you have. Give to other people. It makes a difference. Bless those who persecute you. Don't you? How easy is that? I don't know if I share this story with you. If I'll share it with you again, you'll have to just sit through it. When I was in Beaumont one time, taking my kids to this little ball place. I think I did share it with y'all. But I was, you know, those little places that they used to build where people would throw balls at one another and the kids could play, like an indoor playhouse. And we were in the balls playing, and my kids were real little. And this little boy came up to me and he threw a ball right at my head and hit me. So they're going, "Hey, buddy, don't do that." And he threw another one and hit me right in the head. And my little girl is just looking at me. Like, she knows that's not right. She's not saying anything. They're both just kind of looking at me, standing in the balls. And I said, "Hey." And I touched him on the shoulder. And I said, "Hey, don't do that. That's not nice. We're not supposed to throw the balls." And he threw another one, hit me right in the head. I mean, this close. Well, you know, I was being afflicted. I was being persecuted. And he goes, you're not my mama. And I lost it for a moment. I grabbed that little boy by the shoulder and I said, "I may not be your mama, but I own this place and I'll kick you and your mama out." And then I realized that I've crossed a line. This is not good. And I was being persecuted and afflicted and I didn't want to do good. And then I looked at my girls and they were looking at me and I said, "Come on, let's go." Because he was going, "Oh," and he started to walk off. And so I took my kids out. I was thinking, "Oh, let's go, guys." "Well, Daddy," I said, "we got to go." Because I thought, you know, his daddy's probably 7 foot tall, going to beat the crud out of me. Sometimes I don't want to be nice, but I have to be nice. That's what love is. That you have to understand, students, sometimes people are going to gnaw on you. Well, just let them gnaw. Just let them gnaw. You have to be nice. You have to be loving. That's what it says. Look what it says here. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How many of you wanted to curse people? Oh, wait a minute. How many of you have cursed people? All right, here we go. That's the bigger question. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's what I love about the church. We know how to rejoice with one another. Mourn with those who mourn. Really, that word there is to weep, is to cry with. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. In other words, be willing to hang out with people that are not like you, that don't know, that don't have as much as you. Man, some of you have everything, and you lost everything, and you know what that's like. And you find yourself at a different level. You find yourself in a different home. You find yourself at a different job. You find yourself at a different financial position. And it's hard, isn't it? But we are to love each other through that and walk each other through that. I want to tell you, there's a super spiritual, supernatural spiritual mandate that we are to do. And that was my lesson for you this morning, that you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love unconditionally. There are people that don't think like I do. There are people that don't act like I do. There are people that don't agree with the things that I agree with, but I'm not going to argue with them. You choose to believe that. I choose to believe this. I'll tell you one, it's the ones that want to argue. And I'll tell you something about yourself. It's a good psychological lesson for you. If you find yourself always wanting to argue for your position, there's a good chance that you believe in your position as much as you think you do. Because if you believed in it, you wouldn't have to argue for it. You just live it. You wouldn't try to change everybody else. If you're trying to change people because you think they're dumb for thinking this way, there's a good chance that, listen, you're really not as sure as what you believe in. And I challenge you to love unconditionally. You know, I want to read this scripture out of the Message, and then I want to share illustration with it. I close. And I want to read this out of the Message because I like the way it flows. I think the Message is a good Bible just to read and bring it into today's society. But I like the way it flows here. But I wanted to make sure that you understood what those different words meant in its original text. But here's what it says. Listen to this. Love from the center of your heart, from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Listen, run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to what is good. Be good friends. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Play all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Oh, laugh with your happy friends when they're happy, and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. I love this line. Discover beauty in everyone. Even if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, God says. I'll take care of it. Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good and loving those around you. You know, Paul wrestled with the fact that he was constantly wrestling with the sin that's in him, fighting the good, when he said, why do I do the things I don't want to do and the things I do want to do, I don't do? Man, I am a wretched man. You ever wrestle with that? What should I do? This is the right thing to do. Why do I keep on doing this? And I don't want to do it. I know it's bad. It's like, anybody ever seen that movie, You've Got Mail? You know, maybe, come on, girls, you've seen You've Got Mail, you know. And the bookstore is being taken care of. Her little bitty bookstore is dying, and this big Fox bookstore is up, and she looks at him and just starts to tell things bad about him. And then she goes, oh, I'm so mean. That was so mean. I didn't mean to say that. How many of you have ever done that? After you said something, you went, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. It was in your heart. It slipped out. And that evil, and that's what he said, I wrestle with that all the time. So let's say you've messed up and you've dipped into this bad life. You've dipped into being evil. You've dipped into not loving and accepting people unconditionally. Let's say you've dipped in and you've not hated what is evil. What do you do? What do you do with our sin? You know, I shared this with a student several months ago, and I want to read it to you. When I travel, I eat at a lot of restaurants, and I was in a Taco Bell one day and got my burrito supreme and two tacos with no lettuce. And as I was eating my taco, I was eating my taco, and I looked up, and there this thing was. I may have shared this with you too, but I think I just shared it with the kids. But did I ever show y'all this? It goes like this. I'm looking up, and there's this orange sign. This is it. I took it off the wall. Yeah, I stole it. There were several of them. But I was eating my taco, and I went, oh my gosh, what is that? And all of a sudden, I saw this little thing. Now, if you can't read it, at the top it says, got poop? Well, that's not something you want to see when you're about to eat your taco. So I saw the sign, it says, got poop. Let me read it for you, okay? Got poop? the doggy disposal experts. Call today. It's a real number. I called it. It was three high school students and a college student. They were real entrepreneurs, and here's what they came up with. Because I wanted to know if it was true. Here it is. Here's what they wrote. Don't waste any more time in the yard picking up doggy doo. Leave it to the professionals. I'm not lying. Oh, it gets better. We're number one at picking up number two. Right here. Can you see these high school students and college students behind the computer going, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. You know. Here it is. Call today to find out when we can come out and clean up your hound's mounds. Best of all, we dispose of the waste. Any amount of dogs, any size pile. Satisfaction guaranteed. Remember, our business may stink, but it's picking up. And then it says, the canine caddy, we're picking up where the dog left off. Tyler, Longview, Kilgore, and surrounding East Texas areas. A real business. Yeah, I'm eating my taco going, ooh, I don't. But, you know, it's just a fun way to end. And just to let you know, I think the thing that I like, because it exemplifies what Christ does with your life. If you haven't been unloving, if you have been rude, if you haven't loved like God wants you to, if you've left that spiritual, that supernatural mandate, if you thought that your gift and your talent were bigger and more important than the mandate to love and to be patient, if you've stepped into sin because the evilness that you see has drawn you into a lie, here's all I love about God. He will take your mess through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He will clean you up. Any size mess, any size pile, anything in the past, anything in the future, watch this. And when He's done with you, if you will allow Him to love you unconditionally, satisfaction guaranteed. There's no excuse for continuing in a life of not loving each other, of not accepting. Who have you forgotten to love? Who have you not paid attention to? When's the last time you loved a stranger, did something for somebody you didn't even know? So my challenge to you this morning, as we're stepping into this time of invitation, is have you really loved? My challenge to you, seniors, is that it's a mandate for you as a believer in Christ, and it's a mandate for every one of us that you love the way Christ loved, even when you don't want to love Him, even when you don't like what they do, even when you don't like what they say, and you live your life in love. It is a mandate of God. It's not an option for the believer that we love. Maybe you've never experienced the real love of Christ. Some of you haven't. You've experienced the love of the church, but there's a deeper love than the church. Did you know that? It's the love that Jesus can give you by you simply receiving Him as Lord and Savior. Just like Abigail did. She said, I want the greatest love to enter my life and to show me how to love. She has it. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe that's what's missing in your life. Well, I would tell you, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He died, that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day, it says you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from total separation from God. And saved from a life with no hope to now a life of hope and love. Maybe you can't love because you don't know what love is. I met the greatest lover of my soul when I was 14. And I offer that to you. Maybe some of you have been sitting here going, I need to join the church. Why not this one? Why not this one? Why not start placing your life in here and loving people from this community? And some of you, I challenge you this too. There are some of you, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've never been baptized. Why not? I challenge you, maybe you need to come forward and say, that's me. I want to be baptized because Christ said I needed to do that in His Scripture. But maybe you just need to come and pray at the altar and say, you know what, God? I just need you to help me love this person. We'll be here to pray with you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much. for loving us. We thank you so much that you give to us unconditionally. We thank you so much that you're patient with our attitudes, with the fact that we're not diligent to do the work that you want us to do. Father, we thank you that you love us in ways that we've never loved other people. But Father, I do thank you that in a moment, you can change all of our past and pour something new into us. I pray for those who just need a loving heart. I pray for those who just desperately need you to enter into their lives and to show them what real love is. I'm thankful, Father, that I'm in a loving church, a graceful church. And may we always, always, Father, help us to be loving, to be patient, to look for the strangers, to help the weak. I pray for these seniors, they would love unconditionally and see people through your eyes, not their own. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together.